Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Does it feel so nice to just scream hello once more as we go back to being Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast? Yay! I am, as per previous, you know, it's one of those where, you know, we haven't played Dungeons & Dragons for a few episodes. Some haters would argue we haven't played Dungeons & Dragons in like 40 episodes. I don't know, whatever. But we're back. So therefore, I am once more Game Master Nathan here around the table with the lovely players. Hello, lovely players. Could you please remind everyone listening who you are, who you're playing, and for a final time, who you have been regencying? Yep, that's the word. That's what I'm saying. Regencying.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk who is temporarily masquerading as Sylvester Lynn, the head butler for the Gold Trees. And on my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Caskrin Brightmane, the dwarven warlock, who is also today playing Kenjamin Goldtree, master of the Gold Tree Estate.
Yes.
And to my right.
Hello, hello, I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And in my spare time, I play Charity Goldtree, loving and doting wife to Kenjamin Goldtree and matriarch of the Goldtree family.
And her trusty horse pal,
Mango.
Mango, right?
Yes,
I think it was just Mango
it's
again.
It's just Mango, yeah. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human Astric cleric of the Arcana Domain. And Val plays Violet, the daughter of Charity and Kenjamin, who has poured her heart out to a fictional man.
Yeah. I mean, fucking, may we all
and
live
may
so large.
Love conquer all.
It may love conquer all, indeed. And conquering is, I would say, an apt verb to be using for the situation in front of you all. For, yes, man, last episode, wonderful scenes of a family who cared.
Maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah, some weird stuff in the name of caring and also escaping from this particular section of the very arcanely empowered portion of the public library, but also, you know, but of romance and of love and of bucking past mistakes, of moving forward, of choosing to be who you are. And now we're going to roll for initiative.
I'm pumped, though.
Yeah, I mean, because you guys have been confronted by a pair of authority figures. That's what these two share in common, in that the matriarch of the estate has confronted the two lovebirds, pun intended, about this rash decision that flies in the face of tradition. As well as Larry Steve!
Oh, no.
It's everyone's favorite announcer from your prior adventures as well. He has come to... unfortunately, you guys didn't get a very good lawyer negotiating your contracts, and there was a second season clause, and he has come to forcibly reinforce that clause.
Is it one of those contracts that, like, you don't sign, but it's like, if you participate in this game, you are then signed up for a second season of this game?
Yes. Larry Steves has he's had a lot of time to read legal books. He's had decades to be ready for this moment. Val/Violet. I haven't decided exactly at what point we're just going to transition to your Dungeons & Dragons characters' names. Reality is going to start to crumble now anyway, so we'll kind of feel it out as we go. Is up on a second story, I think, is a fair way to say it, the kind of like terrace looking over a beautiful morning garden where the rest of you are as well. And what is revealed to be Larry Steeves and the bookworm are staring right at her. The rest of you are somewhere in the garden around you, and we'll just say everyone can hear this as Quincy kind of stepped forward and says, "Aunt, I love you, but you've gone too far this time. The heart wants what the heart wants. Violet, please follow me in the forest. There is a gateway where we can go through it and begin our life anew. Please, it's the gateway that, pardon me for being too forward, but that we proceed through as part of a very complex marriage engagement ceremony."
I feel like Violet's in and Val's like, "Wait, what?"
As you look over at Quincy, your beloved, Val sees a book.
Ah, okay.
And Val sees a first edition copy of Courting the Coriander King. The book you were sent here to retrieve, the final book that you guys have been looking for here in the restricted section.
As Val sees kind of the dual image of Quincy and the book that she and the golden tree have been looking for, she just like dives into the moment back in as Violet of like, "Yes, Quincy, my love, let us run there now." And like, it's like, "Let's go, dude."
"Let's go, dude."
Yeah.
I would like for you all to roll for initiative.
It's no fun only rolling one die.
After rolling dice pools for weeks and weeks. Okay, 20 or above.
I've never seen a 20 in my whole life.
Crickets. Any high teens, they'll say like 15 and higher. Just me. Okay, cool, great, no problem. Any other double digits?
Selv with a 10.
Oh, no.
Checkers with a 13.
Okay, okay. Oh, right. That's not so bad.
Val with a 4.
Okay.
Kaskrin also with a 4.
Oh.
Oh, you're all the... Val doesn't have a bonus, so you can go first.
Okay, sounds good. Kaskrin's going to go
first. So 4A and 4B.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before we begin combat, this is all kind of happening at the same time. Sylvester, where are you hiding? And I'm asking Sylvester where he is hiding.
Sylvester had just recently spent a bunch of time with a shovel moving garden flowers around.
Yep.
So he's probably has ducked behind some bushes just to see how things are going with them.
Over your shoulder, you hear what cannot be an actual application of this maneuver, but maybe a polite recreation of a clearing throat. Ahem, ahem. Behind you is fellow butler Chesterton Jeeveserton, standing again at perfect attention, not at all caring about your hiding place. And as he steps forward, second voice chimes in over.
Ooh.
"Oh my god, Self, is that you? Self. Oh my god, I'm here." This is Titanius, the dwarven ghost, for listeners and for those at the table.
"Titanius, I'm glad you're here. We have to get to an archway in the forest."
Oh my god.
"Follow us. Stay close."
What is this? You can see his ghostly hand extended, touching something. "I haven't seen one of these. It's one of the tall plant guys with
a tree."
"It's a tree." And you see this ghostly figure extend from the body of the proper butler and just try to give a tree a hug as he just passes through it, but doesn't seem to care.
Oh, buddy.
"Titanius."
"Yeah,
"Tree hugging later. Run now."
"Oh, okay. You were saying about the gate or something?"
"In the forest."
"Okay.
Follow them."
And okay. I will point to Val and Quincy.
"That's great. That's the out.
like the out of here. And also, I don't have a void anymore. It got kind of destroyed. Doesn't really like talk about like the metaphysical implications of what I think probably happened to it, but
look, I we can ponder that all later. That's very.
And I will, against my better judgment, I will grab the.
As you grab it, a third, even weirder thing happens.
Oh boy.
You have the physical sensation of touching the shoulder of this fellow butler, but also you seem to have the physical sensation of, in a way that defies all logic and space and time, a stack of books.
Do you have books with you?
I think I am books. Is that a sentence? I don't remember. I think I'm books.
Titanius, I'm going to be honest with you right now. That is the least confusing thing that has been said in the last, like,
okay.
20 minutes or so.
Okay. Well, I was grabbing my books from the desk, and then I was able to leave my desk with my books. And I think I'm books. Could you carry me?
I will.
It just seems
nice. A quick look up and down, then I will grab his books.
This is really nice. Thank you, Self. Okay, in the first book on the top, inside the book, which is inside of me, is complicated, but it's just easier to think of it as it's a library pass, and you just need it to go out of the library, I think.
I am going to open up Titanius's head. I'm going to reach in and grab his brain library card.
Oh.
And that is going into Sylvester's coat pocket or Selv's belt pouch.
Perfection. And now we enter into initiative. Because you guys have successfully fostered a love connection in this Regency romance, you guys get a few positives throughout this. You should have already, off screen, taken a short rest because you are so filled with just hope, admiration, and the sense of like, wow, we are all just crazy kids trying to find our way in this world. But on top of all of that, through the power of love, you also all get 2d4 temporary hit points.
Hey.
And plus one on all d20 rolls until you leave the restricted section.
Hey,
nice.
And Val,
yes,
you get double all of that. So plus two on all d20 rolls and 4d4 temporary HP.
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah.
And you'll need that because up first is Larry Steves. Larry Steves. Now, kind of more fully clear to you all is as the realities blur even further and you become more and more guilders than the gold trees. Larry Steves says, you know, I was really giving up hope, but wouldn't you know it? Here we are again. We don't need to do all of this. You can just come back. You know, I know you guys are formidable combatants, but, and then you hear a twang of a crossbow that goes off as he's going to, as he is monologuing, take shots at, I guess, just
Val?
Just Val at the moment.
She is the one speedrunning the romance and eye level with him.
Yes, he is still talking into his not microphone magical stick, but just out of robes, just like has a crossbow that he just like pulls out and shoots three times at you. It is a repeating crossbow.
Wow.
Okay.
What's your AC?
14.
Only one hit.
Great.
7 points of piercing damage.
Larry, I'm pretty sure that violated the terms of our contract. Shooting me.
You should read your contract closer next time. That's the end of his turn.
So in this magnificent garden, there was a life-sized sculpture of Wendershins, the large bird, cut out of a hedge maze. And behind that hedge maze is Checkers and Wendershins.
The large bird,
the
yes.
large bird, hiding directly behind that. And we pop out. Don't you lay a hand on my daughter! I'm assuming that Wendershins is not combat trained.
I'll put it this way.
Is he like a cassowary, though?
Give me a dice roll.
19.
Wendershins comes from, like, he is not a war horse,
yeah,
right? He has not seen action. But he comes from a long line of battle steeds.
Classically trained war horses.
Right. They're, this is one of those where, like, dogs get bred for certain activities, right? Of, oh, yeah, this one's for hunting. This one's for digging. This one's for carrying small pouches of alcohol and digging people out of avalanches. This bird has been bred for violence.
Okay.
And you rolled really well in that roll last time, as I recall. So you could, we'll say, point it in the right direction and let instinct take over.
As my action, I would like to try to ride Wendershins into combat, preferably up the staircase made of birds towards where Lady Florentina Feathertop is.
Okay.
And try to just knock her off of it.
Okay. And AKA running up the back of the bookworm and kicking Larry Steves.
Why is it that when I say something, it sounds perfectly reasonable in my head, but when you repeat it back to me, I sound insane?
To clarify, Florentina and Larry Steves are the same person, and Larry Steves has kind of taken over her character.
Correct.
Right now.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to do that.
I was clarifying for the listener,
yes,
not to make sure that I knew that you knew what you were doing.
Yes. So we're going to charge up the back of this bookworm / stairs made of birds and try to kick Florentina / Larry Steves in the back.
Yep. Hell yeah.
My goal is to try and knock them off of the bookworm, so I can make an athletics check for that or something.
Yes, and I'll say you can do athletics with advantage.
Okay.
We'll say it's like a help action kind of thing that the bird is giving you.
That's going to be a 7.
Describe running up the back of this dragon. I will not take that away from you.
We charge out the back of this sculpture, and you just see Charity Goldtree / Checkers on top of the back of Wendershins. And I'm imagining Wendershins has these big, spindly legs.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just, like, running up the back of what looks like a giant dragon. And we just kind of, like, I put my arms out to try and use my momentum to push Florentina off of the back of this and just accidentally, like, bonk into her. Just, like, bounce off ineffectually.
Yeah, Larry turns to you kind of, you know, he's taken off guard. And kind of staggers and, you know, but is able to right himself. And he says, "You don't think that I worked on my stage presence? You'll never knock me off."
One last thing. I'm going to use a bonus action and you hear a crack of lightning and the sound of a thunderstorm approaching as Mango the Square Pony appears from the garden. But it's not just any old square pony. No, this is a 10-foot tall, 10-foot wide, cubular pony of Mango just plodding along.
Please, please edit in like hoof beats.
Yes,
but like squishy yeah. hoof beats.
Right.
Cubular hoof beats.
Yes.
Please.
It's like he's like a Minecraft cow. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, I guess so.
But he's gonna walk up and put himself next to the balcony, and I'm just gonna yell out, "Val, Quincy, get on Mango. Go, go, go." And that's
my love, let's go. My love, we ride.
And that's my turn.
So I'm carrying 6 books.
I really appreciate it, Self. It's been really tough last 45 seconds, you know. It was all I knew with this. Gone. He's gone, you know.
I understand, Titanius. I really do. Bide a moment.
I'm holding the books. And I will start moving as fast as I can towards the forest that we're supposed to be headed towards to get to this gateway.
Definitely.
I think that will take me past the Larry / bookworm / birds people. So as I'm moving, I'm just going to use my movement, but I'm going to hold my action and I'm going to shout out to Cass,
"Get me up there."
And Caskrin shouts from nearly outside the garden, "I'm on it, Self!"
Now it is the bookworm's turn.
They just sit there and stare.
I get it.
I get it, I don't want it.
The worm looks around a little bit. You can see kind of the eyes on the side of its head just kind of lolling around and taking in an almost 360 degree view of everyone. And you hear this kind of deep breathing animalistically. But then that sound changes. You've heard it roar. You've heard it make a lot of noises. You've even seen it breathe like a noxious gas. But this sound is different. This time, as an action, you hear... And for some of you, say for any character within 30 feet, that the sound of hushing is the last thing that you hear. It is now emanating silence from 30 feet in all directions. Also, and let me know if this applies to any of you, or if you think this applies to Larry Steves. If you're a creature who needs to breathe, and I don't remember all, we haven't played Dungeons and Dragons for a little bit, so like just check your own sheets. You also now have disadvantage on all constitution saving throws.
Oh. What? Why?
Because you can't say anything now, and you can't breathe very easily. It is as if the air is being sucked out of the space next to you all. It is not just silence. As you were all wondering, huh, I wonder if this means that Larry Steves at least can't talk. At least we don't have to listen to that dummy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, entering onto the field are fan favorite contestants, the Sky Whales.
You guys see, coming from also out of the bushes, you see additional competitors. Originally, maybe they were people that you saw at the party, something like that, but they all appear to be decked out in a variety of silver-colored foam padding and skin-tight athletic wear and have no faces. You recognize them as the people that you successfully escaped from on the Astro Crag earlier on in this adventure. They are now just entering into the battlefield. They do not take any actions or anything like that.
So Castrin, I want to say, is actually on the outside of this kind of zone of silence. He was holding back all of the crowds from entering the garden terrace. And so as he runs in, he sees this menacing worm. He sees Florentina. He sees Larry. Castrin is going to run in and with one hand pull the butler's uniform off his chest, revealing the metal armor underneath.
Yep. Where physically it would be like poking out or like the dimensions are all wrong, but it just is perfectly unveiled all in one fell swoop.
And he's just like, Selv, get up there. Castrin is going to, using the broom that he is still holding, slam the ground and with it unleash a torrent of magical energy that rushes through the marble of the garden towards Selv, and right in front of you a giant stone pillar begins to form.
I'm going to jump on top of that stone pillar and ride that up.
Excellent. Selv gets pushed up from the ground on this magical pillar. And you guys have seen Castrin do this before, but you haven't seen this before because Selv is being launched up into the air. You can see it is Selv in kind of all of his pure Gilder glory, and also is still Sylvester Lynn, and is pushed up into the air. I'm imagining like a cool, like a midair somersault that I'll let you describe in more detail. But additionally, what you also see is Sylvester Lynn scooping Chesterton Jeeveserton, who is also Titanius the Ghost Dwarf, who is also a pile of books. So this horror show of a Russian doll is also in Selv's arm as he ...
Selv gets launched by this pillar into the air, and as he's moving across Larry Steve's area, he spins in the air, and because his hands are full...
he has one, you know, kind of a free, one free hand.
Well, I was actually going to basically stick my foot out and try to kick Larry as I go by, and then ride that momentum down and continue heading towards the archway with Chesterton...
Just say with Titanius.
Titanius.
Yeah, that's the important
pile. Then I will try to hit him twice. 13?
Against Larry Steeves, that is a miss.
Hmm. Okay.
Larry Steeves...
did you add the plus one?
Oh, sorry, that'd be 14.
God damn it.
Plus one.
Yes!
Got him!
In slow motion, this all unfolds, and Larry Steeves starts cringing away. It's not he is not a warrior, per se. He's effective, apparently, on the battlefield, but he is just trying to duck underneath you when you just are able to extend your leg that little bit further and then just clock him right in the temple.
Nice. And the second attack was a unnatural 20.
Then you hit him real good. Then you hit him real good the second time.
So it's as I kind of fly by with both my feet. Larry will take 8 points of bludgeoning damage. I am going to spend a key point and attempt a stunning strike.
Ooh.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
DC 14 constitution?
That is a 17.
Ooh. Lame.
So the second attack that hit, 9 points of bludgeoning damage, and I will spend another key point to attempt to stun him a second time.
Sweet.
That is a natural 1.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Does he have, like, legendary
resistance? However, he doesn't have legendary resistance per se. He has an ability that he can use for a couple different things, and one of the things that he can use it for is to turn a failure into a success. You come around, you hit him twice, bam, bam, and, you know, you're hitting him right in the sweet spot on the side of the head. But the difficulty is that his head keeps spinning. And you know there's a spot, you know, like there's the spot where you just really get him.
Yeah,
and
where it should stun him if I hit him there.
Exactly. But it's always just that, like, key centimeter off of being able to stun him, unfortunately. He still looks woozy. He's like, oh, I should be angry, but God, I'd love to watch you work.
Is this ability just called The Show Must Go On?
It is now.
Yes. Not on the original monster stat block, but in the Larry Steeves stat block, yes, it is.
Cool.
With the rest of Kaskrin's turn, he is going to use the bonus action to harden the rock around his arms and legs, giving him additional defense, and then he is just booking it towards that gateway. Booking it. Though that means he is right now in the zone of silence.
Okay.
That's my turn.
Last, but certainly not least, our ingenue, Violet/Val, Sophie, what you got?
Val and Violet in this ring of silence, knowing she has to go through it to get to her destination, grabs Quincy's hand and squeezes it and, like, pulls him onto this, what I realize now is a 10-foot cubular mango.
Yep.
They will spend the turn clambering up this majestic steed.
Yeah, canonically, no one has cared that mango is a weird shape.
Yeah.
Everyone's just been like, yeah. I mean, it's not like a classically handsome horse, but, like, it is what it is.
He's a working steed, you know? Like,
Man, those
built for power.
Those Clydesdales.
Yeah. Well, like those country folk. They have such strange breeds. I don't know. I don't understand.
And then since we are both right next to Larry and the bookworm, Val will take the dodge action.
Yep, that is a very good choice.
and be sad that she can't yell words.
It is the end of the first round of combat. I think the easiest way to wrap it all up is Mango, Checkers, and Val are all on the back of the worm with Larry Steves and, I guess, the worm. Selv has backflipped over, but is still kind of in the general vicinity of all of this. And Kaskrin is presumably just kind of on the outside of like that 30-foot silence range. Again, everyone is not able to speak, except for, again, Larry Steves. He appears to probably not need to breathe. And there have also been some fellow competitors. I did not say their full title when I introduced them. The Silver Sky Whales. It's very important to distinguish. Have just kind of started to enter. And also, as a reminder, this is not necessarily a full combat. This is a, well, we can get the fuck out of here kind of situation. So, punching is good. Spells are good. Living is very good.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Tumblestrom's Tome of Unicorns. This new book by Lucas Anderson offers 10 brand new unicorns and unicorn-themed stat blocks for 5th edition, including the Goopy Oozicorn, the Primeval Unicorn, and the Unicorn of Majesty. Each is accompanied with lore and plot hooks to inspire GMs using them for their campaign. There's also a section of unique magic items like the Bow of Fecundity. That's fun to say. Plus, all that is set to super evocative rock and roll zine art. Tumblestrom's Tome of Unicorns is a very flavorful and easy-to-use supplement and can be found right now on the Dungeon Masters Guild. That's TUMBLESTRUM apostrophe S, Tome of Unicorns. Available now on the Dungeon Masters Guild.
Hi everyone, David here with the Midroll. We hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. If you want more of the Reckless Attack crew, come join the community on Discord. The link is in the show notes of the episode and on our website, recklessattack.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to Patreon, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback series, as well as our new series, Reckless A Snack, where we eat snacks and chat about the question of the day. As always, if you like the show, be sure to tell a friend about it too. Thanks so much for listening, and now, back to the episode.
Top of the order, and actually, it's not top of the order. I lied, because I remembered.
Immediately lied.
Why would
to
you
us.
Do this? Because I forgot that Larry Steves has villain actions.
Amazing. You can keep forgetting. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
But Nathan, what are villain actions? I have not heard of that
before.
Thank
you so much. They're an action that you can take during the encounter after an enemy's turn, a.k.a. one of you losers. And Val just went, so I'm taking this after Val's turn. I am going to use the villain action, do it myself, which means that Larry Steves makes eye contact with Val, and he takes his, what did we call it? His not microphone, his prestidigitation stick. His thaumaturgy stick.
Wait, does he still have that, or does Checkers have that?
I'm sure Larry C's had
probably another one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This one, you see there's a little bit of scotch tape on it that says number two.
Yeah.
And he starts just kind of menacingly hitting the top of it in his hand as if it's a hammer. And as he does, it starts to grow a little bit into more of a, we'll call it more of a war mace size thaumaturgical stick. And he steps forward.
Now a thwapaturgical stick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he says. It's a thwapaturgical stick. He doesn't say that. But he does say, it's time to take matters into my own hands. And he steps forward without provoking any opportunity attacks and takes 5 attacks at advantage.
What?
At straight. I am using the dodge action.
Aha! He's going to take 2 attacks against Checkers. He's going to take 2 attacks against Val and 1 attack against Mango. Attack 1 against Checkers. Does 23 hit?
You know, I think it does.
Okay, great. You take 9 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ow.
And you are dazed until the end of your next turn. Second attack, 10.
That thankfully misses.
Just, and is going to now step over very deftly, like a trained stage man that he is, and is going to take a couple more attacks against Val, just flat, no advantage since you took the dodge action. A 3 on the dice. Okay, I guess all of these dice are going in dice jail. That's fine. And an 18
that
to hit.
That will hit.
7 points of bludgeoning damage.
I had 1 temporary HP left, so I'm taking 6 damage to my normal.
Great and good. You are also dazed. Last attack against Mango. Ooh, that's another 23 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Dang. Mango.
Just whap. Well, except I guess you can't hear anything. It is just clotting, just huge swings against everyone. As Larry Steves is really just like, his thaumaturgical stick has gotten so large that he's just kind of like flailing around with it, but is surprisingly deft.
You can't hear it, but you can see the percussive waves going through this cubular horse.
He's absorbing it pretty well. All right, that is the end of Larry Steves' villain action. And good news, everyone. Now it's Larry Steves' turn. I think he is just going to make... Yeah, he's just going to make 2 more boops against the large square frog horse and the cleric that is in front of him.
Oh, no.
Except the issue is that he is flailing around so hard that he doesn't realize that you guys are taking the dodge action against him. So he's actually going to make both of these attacks at disadvantage because he's just kind of... He's not a trained warrior, we'll be honest.
I'm imagining his thaumaturgy stick has just gotten too unwieldy for him, and he only has, like, centrifugal momentum.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been spinning, and now he just
has to keep going.
Yep. Yeah. He's spinning like a top. So, disadvantage. Ooh, a 19 and an 18 on the die. And that is, sorry, I didn't declare it. That was against Val. Sorry,
yeah, that
Val.
Would hit.
6 points of damage. Natural 1.
Oh, okay.
So a big miss against Mango.
Thank you.
And that is where the spinning finally stops, and it just thuds onto the ground, and Larry Steves looks disoriented, tries to catch his breath.
Is his head spinning faster because of the force?
Yes, absolutely. You're right. It was actually very uncanny because he was spinning around, but his head wasn't moving.
That's probably why he missed. Maybe his head was turning and his head was facing the wrong way while the spin.
Yeah, he didn't quite time it
faster.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. But that is the end of Larry Steves' turn. Checkers, it is your turn. You are dazed, which means essentially you can only take 1 of your actions, whether it is a move action, an action action, or a bonus action.
So Checkers and Mango are both dazed, and Checkers and Wendershins are on top of the bookworm.
I literally forgot. I forgot about that.
The war bird.
How could I have forgotten already?
My trusty steed.
Yep.
While Mango is currently carrying Val and Book Quincy. We are trying to get away from Lair. We don't want to stay here any longer. So what I'm going to do is... What am I going to do? Actually,
And the bird is not dazed.
Yeah, right. So we got to
ride when you're ride. Yeah.
You actually have some options on this fucking bird that you that you brought here. Damn it.
Can I try one thing real fast?
You could try exactly 1 action worth
of
things.
Absolutely. Well, so I'm hoping that this is just kind of my interact with object action as I pull out Checker's stolen version of the thaumaturgical stick and just go testing 1 2 1 2. Is this thing on? I'm wondering, does this get past the silence aura that is being emitted from the bookworm?
That's a really good idea.
Just gaming out Larry Steves's stage presence, I would not put it past him to have silence cast over the audience. Like, unless the applause light is on, silence is cast over the audience, but his thaumaturgical stick still works.
Okay, give me a dice roll.
Okay.
Straight up 50-50,
okay.
Because I like this idea a lot, and I think it is very reasonable. on top of what you were saying, Sophie, it is also very reasonable that Larry Steves's thaumaturgical stick would also be enchanted so that there is like an aura of always being on and able to be heard.
Uh-huh.
Like it is kind of the dispel magic aura around it, ensuring that always Larry Steves can be heard. So give me evens or odds.
I'll take evens.
Okay. Evens means good things.
I got a 3.
No!
I was thinking about how unintentionally powerful that object would be throughout the campaign if it was.
Yeah, it was going to be one of those of like, I don't know that I'll let you cast stuff through it.
Yeah.
But you can taunt him in the silence.
We almost ended up with an object to focus.
It's just a little. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess so. So you, unfortunately, you tap it, and you guys can hear a little bit of like static, kind of go through. So you can tell that something is trying to push through, but this just creature is so menacingly powerful that it doesn't quite make it through.
So I'm going to start off by having Wendershins move off of the bookworm and away from Larry Steves. So I'm going to pat Wendershins on the butt. Onward, we ride! And we're going to try and make our way towards the direction that Quincy and Val were pointing at. And I'm hoping to provoke an attack of opportunity.
Okay. And this is, you're hoping to provoke an attack from
Larry Steve. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I think you guys are all close enough. And I'm going to say that the thaumaturgical stick is now so large that he has reach with it.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So he is going to, take another kind of like half-hearted swing in your general direction.
Wait, Checker, steal that one too.
That is an 18 to hit.
That hits.
Okay.
Dang.
So that is another 7 points of damage.
Okay.
Bludgeoning damage.
Thank goodness for that temporary HP, but it's all gone. Can Kaskrin outside the zone of silence hear any of this going on? Or is he just hearing like what Larry Steves is announcing?
Yes, you are just, you hear that little bit of kind of like static crispness from Checkers, and you have full vantage of what's going on.
Okay.
But yeah, you hear nothing other than the shadowy Regency crowd that are still now commenting, oh my, what has gotten into the lady?
Cool. So Wendershins has moved. I'm still like hanging out close to the back of the bookworm, and I'm going to tell Mango, get him out of there. Mango's going to use his move, as he's dazed currently, to get Val and Quincy out of range of the bookworm and towards the marriage arch.
I think the bookworm will take the attack of opportunity against Mango.
Sure.
As you move.
Val lays her body across this cubular horse to try and protect him as much as possible.
It's going to take an attack of opportunity. I'm going to be honest with you. It has a grapple portion to the bite.
That's
situation.
What I was worried about. That's what I was worried about.
That is a 19 to hit.
So as the monstrous jaws of this bookworm go towards the escaping Mango and his companions, I'm going to invoke the blessing of the trickster wind.
Ooh, okay.
And what happens is a dozen ringing kites appear out of nowhere and just kind of fly around the battlefield. And as the bookworm goes to attack Mango, one of the kites blocks his bite, and the bite comes out of another kite next to Larry Steves and bites him instead.
Fucking sweet!
Yeah. Wow. Nice. Okay, so you're doing, it's like Doctor Strange portal kind of situation.
Yes.
So it is still resolved against his AC and stuff?
Okay. Against his AC and everything.
It will hit against Larry Steves.
Sweet.
Oh, it's my precious boy. 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay. So this worm, like, it thinks it's hitting Mango, but like it accidentally grabs onto the arm of Larry Steves or something.
And he just kind of looks down, and the huge worm is just breathing and heaving, and he looks panicked for a moment and kind of just crumples a little bit. It's like, ah!
Go, Mango, go! So Mango has used his move, which is all he can do because he's dazed. Wendershins has used his move, which he is not dazed. Checkers has not used his action yet.
This is,
tell me more.
I love this cascading, again.
Yeah. There's a flow chart in here.
Yeah. Bringing the bird is disastrously helpful in a way that is so good. Go ahead.
And finally, Checkers is going to use his one action.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to conjure a rock in his hand, and he's just going to throw it at Larry Steve's spinning head.
Okay, can you do that with no verbal actions?
So I'm hoping to be far enough away from the bookworm to be able to conjure the rock, but otherwise it would require verbal actions.
Okay, got it.
So as Wendershins is running away from the bookworm, I'm just going to throw a quick rock at Larry Steve, see if I can distract him.
Okay, that sounds great.
That's only a 13 to hit.
Just misses, unfortunately. Okay. Just sails wide. Maybe it is just as the worm kind of jerks him to the side.
Remember, you have plus one to your d20 rolls.
Yes. Actually, because I have a plus one, that's a 14.
Thank
you, Steve.
Through the power of love, you see it is going wide, but the worm kind of in its just kind of instinctual biting of him just kind of jerks him, and it jerks him into the perfect flight path of your rock and just kind of bonks off of his twisting head. Give me some damage.
We're going to forget that so many times. 14 points of magical bludgeoning damage.
Dang. Nice. Wow.
And with that, Checkers, Wendershins, Mango, Val, and Quincy ride off into the sunset.
So right now, I think I need to get to the arch and put the scared dwarf / book pile down. And I think I am fast enough that I can do that and start heading back. What I'm going to do is use my movement to get as far as I can towards that marriage arch.
Yep, and there are no opportunity attacks. Actually, I think because you're far enough away and you are fast enough that you would be able to kind of run around where the silver sky whales are.
Are
they're kind
from.
Of in between where right. you are and where you need to go, but you, because you are self, are so fast that you can kind of skirt around them, no problem.
All right, cool. And then I'm going to use my action to dash. Does that get me to the arch?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
So if you use both your movement and another movement, then you are there. And you can see, as you kind of just blare through the woods and the gardens, it is very easy to find this archway. It is relatively simple, at least for kind of the tastes of the Feathertops. It is just a very simple, curved, but beautifully almost woven-looking bit of branches and nature and stuff that is just covered with lots of flowers and that kind of feathery willow branch work and stuff that is just almost like a curtain going down in front of it. But right now, at least, it doesn't look particularly extra magical, let alone intraplanar, etc. It just is a beautiful, nice little spot in the woods.
Once I get there to the arch, I am going to put down this pile of books / Titanius.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Be vigilant and careful, but wait here for us.
I'm very good at waiting.
And then I am going to turn around, and how far are my companions from this archway?
They're probably 50 plus feet, give or take, depending on kind of where they're standing and stuff. So it's not too far away.
Okay. I am going to spend a key point, and I am going to use Step of the Wind to take a dash as a bonus action. And I am going to head back almost 50 feet, 45 feet to be exact, back towards my companions. And once I get there, I am going to get ready for any incoming attacks that might be coming from the Silver Sky Whales that are probably pretty close to where I'm currently standing, or to kind of help usher any of my companions towards the gate.
That is a good turn. A lot of just sprinting back and forth, essentially.
Like, you just moved 150 feet around.
Yeah, close to it, yes.
And dropped off some books.
135 feet.
And then came back.
Yep.
All right, that is the end of Self's turn. Now it is the bookworm's turn, which everyone is, I'm sure, extremely excited about. First, I think it's safe to say that the bookworm is going to stop grappling Larry Steve.
That's fair. That's fair.
You see it just kind of detach and retreat back through the kite from whence it came and is going to slowly in midair, as if it is just floating. It turns around and its giant head with Larry Steve's still atop it starts to kind of turn around. And I think everyone is off of the worm now, correct? Unfortunately, we have established that it has a breath attack.
Yeah.
And there are quite a few individuals who are close enough for this breath attack at the moment. Val, Checkers, mango, and I guess I'll roll for the bird. Please make me a constitution saving throw. Unfortunately, you have to do this with disadvantage.
No.
Because it, as it moves forward, the aura of silence also starts to kind of envelop you guys once more. And you guys kind of have that harder time holding your breath and remaining stalwart against its attack. Fucking Wenderson's rolled really good.
Checkers with an 11, Mango with an 18.
Okay, Val?
7.
Ooh, the DC was 14.
Okay.
The bird did great.
Wow, Wenderson's champion.
It stands there just like a beacon of good health and vitality.
A beak.
Those who failed take 10 points of poison damage, half of that on a save. Spoiler alert, I didn't stat out the bird, so I'm going to say it has more than 5 HP.
Thanks.
I think that is the end of his turn. So it is turned around, but again, you guys are all kind of once again enveloped in the aura. I would say that, Kaskrin, you are still kind of far enough to the side that you're still open. I would also say that probably, Selv, you are just on the outskirts of it and would probably continue to be fine. Now it is the Silver Sky Whale's turn. And they just kind of, as one, just start to perfectly in sync pump their arms as they run towards you in impeccable physical form. And they are probably just going to go over to Selv, unfortunately. Mm. And they are all just kind of at once just going to lunge and try to, like, tackle you, essentially. And these are all, by the way, as a reminder, all minions. So they are all attacking with kind of one attack all at once. 21 to hit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay, you take 4 points of bludgeoning damage, and you are grappled.
Well, there goes all my temporary hit points.
But hey, thank goodness for temporary hit points.
Yeah. That is true. And, okay, grappled.
So Kaskrin is running alongside this bookworm and this giant silent aura. Yeah. He sees all of these silent sky whales pile onto Selv and just, like, kick and punch him. And Kaskrin is going to reach into the top of his armor and pull out a little piece of his gambeson. He's going to rip off a piece of fleece, wave it in the air, and cast Minor Illusion.
Okay.
I'm assuming that Larry Steves can project his voice out of the silent aura using the thaumaturgical stick, but can't necessarily hear anything coming in because of the silent aura.
All right.
So I and Selv and all of the Silver Sky Whales hear Larry Steve's voice being projected outside of this aura, and it says, "Silver Sky Whales, you idiots! You missed your mark! Get back to stage left and do your entrance again!"
Okay.
Nice.
So I'm going to try to persuade them to get off Selv, like run back off stage and come back again, giving us enough time, hopefully, to get to the arch.
All right. Give me a deception, I think, or some sort of charismatic based.
Yeah, deception makes sense. That is a 16.
Ooh, that is a success. I
nice.
Against their, like, I did passive, like, wisdom.
Yeah.
Their passive wisdom. And so they all just kind of look upright and turn their faceless heads over to Larry Steves, who is still just kind of rubbing the part of his head, trying to keep up as it spins, that has just been hit with a rock.
Uh-huh.
And does not clock what is happening at all. So they just kind of look and look at each other and then shrug and then just let go of Selv and then just kind of hustle back to the bushes that they were hiding in prior to the combat.
Nice. And Casper's just going to keep running, and that's his turn.
Val, it is your turn. You are on top of a square frog.
Cubular horse.
Yeah.
Cubular situation.
With totally my, cubular. Now fiance, Book Quincy,
yep.
Who we are both silent.
Yep. And so, dazed. Well, he's not dazed, but he's a book, so it's complicated.
Well, we're now also in the aura of silence again.
Right.
So, Val will take the dodge action as she can't do much else.
That sounds good. Guys, you know what I did? I still haven't used a villain action on this round.
Huh.
And I'm going to go ahead and use a villain action. And How mean do I want to be?
Well, I think the obvious thing for him to do right now is monologue.
Tell us about a secret plan.
Yeah.
See, I feel like, though, MCDM monologuing just means, like, all of the villain enemies who hear it are slowed or something
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. And also, like, there is no secret plan. Larry Steves has been very transparent about what he hopes to do with you guys. And finally, Larry Steves gathers himself, sees that everyone has escaped, essentially, from his clutches. He was right on him, had you guys right where he wanted you, and looks over and sees the last bit of the silver sky whales duck in the bushes and go back to their mark, essentially. And he rebalances his large stick, you know, kind of more of a staff now. And you hear his voice yell out as he uses the villain action, enter stage left.
Yeah.
And he yells out, get back out there. I'm not paying you. Well, I'm not paying you at all, but you know what I mean. Get going. And this is essentially letting them move for free.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not going to have them, like, go back and grapple anyone, but they have now kind of re-entered the battlefield and have just kind of walked back kind of sheepishly, but with urgency, up next to Sel. That is the end of the round. We have the various riders, I guess, upon various steeds right out in front of the worm. Larry Steves is kind of right there looking over down onto you guys. There's a Kaskrin off to kind of one side, and then there is a Selv a little bit further beyond all of this between where you guys are and the exit, and he is re-surrounded by all of these faceless physical arena contestants. It is the top of the order, and Larry Steves would like to once again do a thing. I think Larry Steves is not in melee range, and I think Larry Steves is uninterested in hopping off of the worm. And so I think he is going to awkwardly lean his thaumaturgical stick against his shoulder and get his crossbow out again.
Okay.
And is just going to take two pot shots against the two PCs that are kind of right in front of him. Against Checkers.
Yep.
19 to hit.
Yeah, it hits.
6 points of piercing damage. He will roll against Val with disadvantage because you have taken the dodge action. That is a 17 on the die and a 2 on the other die.
Nice.
So that is a miss. So one kind of clips Checkers, but the other one sails totally wide as he's trying just desperately to just fling off as many shots as he possibly can to do anything to slow you guys. Hey, oh, wait, don't be so hasty. We can work out something. Come on, get back to the table with me. We can hammer out a deal. I'm sure of it.
I realize you're humans and it needs sustenance. I've learned about craft services.
Right, exactly. I can give you real food this time. That is the end of his turn. Checkers, it is your go.
Okay, so now that we're no longer dazed,
correct.
Checkers as a bonus action is going to command Mango to disengage. And Mango's going to carry off Val and Quincy into the sunset. And by sunset, I mean into the marriage arch. Hopefully. Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect.
Just the romantic, you know, kind of exit that I'm sure everyone had in mind is this square horse galloping in slow motion through the woods as Val is just clutching a large book.
Especially if there's like empty cans tied to the back of Mango.
Yeah, exactly. Clunk, clunk, clunk.
So is Mango and the group now like within the area of the arch?
Yes. So you would be. Exactly.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to try and get Wendershins to disengage as well.
Give me an animal handling roll.
Okay. That'll be an 18.
I'm going to say, that seems good.
Okay, cool.
That seems good, but you have to tell me, since you are still silent, what does Checkers do to non-verbally express his desire to get out, but get out carefully?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm just going to, like, kick my little frog foot into his side and point in the direction of the marriage arch. And hope that, like, Wendershins and his survival instincts kind of kick in to understand, like, hey, maybe try not to get hit by this worm right in front of you.
Yeah, I figure between his natural battlefield prowess and your just kind of ability as a rider and whatever, that, you would have no problem.
And I'm going to make my way outside of the range of the silence aura and once again conjure a rock to throw at Larry Steve's head.
Okay.
26 to hit.
Ha! Yep.
And we're going to try something else, too.
Oh, good. Yep.
So with this rock smashing into the side of Larry Steve's, I'm going to invoke the blessing of the hateful turtle. A large set of leathery turtle jaws appear out of thin air and try to grab onto Larry Steve's, holding him in place.
Poor Larry. He just keeps getting bitten by large creatures coming at strange angles.
Right?
This whole time.
As water is pouring out of the sides of these turtle jaws, I'm going to ask him to make me a strength saving throw.
Ooh, 16 on the die. Ah. I'd say 19.
That'll succeed, but he'll still take an additional 2d6 magical piercing damage. So between the rock and the jaws, he'll take 13 points of damage.
Ow. That was still quite a bit. So this giant turtle jaw comes down and just goes for his arm again.
Yeah.
But he's able to kind of just get just enough out of the way where it, instead of ripping his arm off, just rips his sleeve off.
Yeah.
And he is now just kind of like has a weird bear arm that is, you know, just kind of slightly see-through and like a hologram.
Yeah.
But apparently his wardrobe is made out of physical material.
Right.
Unlike him.
So the jaws disappear, and that is the end of my turn.
I am going to disengage from these silver sky whales, and I am going to head back to the arch. So we have Mango, Val, Checkers, Windershanks.
Everyone but Kaskrin is pretty much right in the same
How
area.
How far is Cass from
I'm like
arch?
One move away, so I could be. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to be there next turn.
Yeah. Okay. What I am going to do is use another key point to once again use Step of the Wind to disengage as a bonus action. And I'm going to move to the arch. I am going to take out the library pass and see if there's any indication on that pass what I am supposed to do with the pass at this arch in order to open it so we can get out.
As you kind of move back towards the arch and pull this out of your shirt pocket, I think, you see that it is on official library stationery, but is a handwritten note from Paulus Calvetta, the brother of Vina Calvetta, head of the guard, and one of the mages who was there trying to put a clamp on all the magic that may or may not be escaping.
Selv pulls out this card, looks at it, and sees a quick handwritten message on it, and then holds his action to wait till Cass is standing next to the arch as well.
We're getting out of here, but Cass has to be here too.
Now it is the bookworm's turn. I am going to roll. Does not recharge.
Thank goodness.
Its breath. But is going to, instead of doing some chomps, is going to do a big tail swipe as it just kind of curls up and spins and just whips a tail at...
Freaking everybody?
Is it Checkers again?
It might.
Is it Wendershins? No, yeah, I'm heard.
I think it's everybody.
Wow. Oh, no.
I mean, I'm mad about it, but it's going to look fucking sweet.
Yeah. And essentially, so it is. It flies forward just a little bit, just essentially so that it can get everyone within kind of like a 10-foot range of it, including, frankly, the Silver Sky Whales. And I guess I'm going to have everyone make a dexterity saving throw.
But I'm not good at those.
Don't forget about the power of love.
Yes, oh, yeah. Everybody has a plus one.
I have a plus two.
Heck.
It won't help me.
Kaskrin with a 6.
Val with a 6.
Hey. Checkers with a 19. Mango with an 11.
Self with a natural 1 for a total of 9.
Yikes. So everyone but Checkers and... Yep, everyone but Checkers.
Sorry,
bird. All gets whacked by not just the tail, but like the full body of this creature. And so everyone who fails, they only take 6 points of bludgeoning damage.
I will say Checkers and Mango are both bloodied at this point,
okay.
So we're at half health.
Val, too.
Wendershins as well.
Oh, no.
This fictional, not real bird.
But, like, I want Wendershins to come with us.
Yeah, so
yeah,
that was
be
the point.
Part of the menagerie.
Well, we'll have to find out.
What does he turn into when he goes out of the library?
I don't know.
Is it a chicken? Can it be a chicken?
Is it just a drawing, like a framed photo of a bird?
I'm imagining it's actually like the training manual that Gary Carr Chickens Are has built his chicken
empire
like training regime on.
Training chickens is actually forbidden knowledge.
Yeah, right. It had to be sealed away in their
chicken. It's too powerful.
Yep. You guys
how to train a war bird, guys.
Basically. Okay. That is the end of the worm's turn, and now it is the silver sky whales. They are going to...
Question.
Yes.
They all got hit by the bookworm.
Yeah. Oh, yes, they did. And they succeeded, and they're safe, unfortunately. But yes, thank you. I forgot to write that down.
So they all took 3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. But that kills one of them. Because they are minions. So you actually see kind of the final swipe of the tail. It kind of womps all of you guys. And it is so large and powerful that there is no slowdown in momentum. You guys are mere road bumps as it just kind of buh, 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 buh. But the last silver sky whale to get hit is the victim of a little bit of an extra like kind of tail flick, where it is just kind of circling back and gives that little extra oomph and it goes flying into a tree and splatters. But it splatters into a kind of very interesting silvery goo. So in case that helps the mental image at all. It is their turn and now there are only four of them. I think they are going to move... I guess next up to Selv again and try to, again, just kind of all dog pile on top of him and are going to make an attack. Ooh, rolled real bad. They don't. They're all concussed. <Yeah. laughs> They're all wearing, to be clear, again, is a very important reminder, both to you guys at the table and listeners. They're wearing all kinds of protective gear. Mm-hmm. You know, they're wearing their helmets. They're wearing their shoulder and knee pads. Mm-hmm. They have, kind of ankle braces on and whatnot. But apparently it was not enough. Their brains are still a little scrambled.
Well, they got hit. All the helmets got knocked and, it's front of their eyes.
Yes, they're very disheveled at the moment. That is the end of their turn. Kaskrin, it is your turn.
Yes, Kaskrin is going to continue just big arm sprinting to the marriage arch and is going to begin starting the somatic components and casting the 1 hour ritual of ceremony to bring these two anointed human beings together.
Yeah, that seems good.
And begin saying, love, true love, marriage is what brings us together.
As a reaction, I would like,
that blessed arrangement, that dweem within a dweem.
You know, of course, way more about
it. I was going to say, of course, Steve is able to just to keep rattling it off.
Have you the wing?
So what I'm actually going to do is I am going to get to the marriage arch. And then I'm going to cast Minor Illusion once again.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that the bookworm can hear regularly, even throughout the aura of silence.
Maybe more. Like, see, here's even more.
Right.
Here's everything.
So, like, coming from off to the side, I'm going to cast a spell. And then everyone, excluding Larry Steves, hears the robotic sounds of... Hail, hail, hail the grand serviciousness.
Awesome, yes.
In an
Love
attempt
it.
To get the bookworm like distracted of like, ooh, is there another threat that I know about that's like over in that direction?
Okay, that sounds very good. Give me another deception, but I'll give you advantage on this one.
Cool, hell yeah. That is going to be a 21 using the power of love and friendship.
Hot damn.
Nice.
So... You are able to, and it's just the sound, correct?
Yes,
it is
just
one effect. You are able to throw your voice, and the bookworm tilts its head in that direction, just kind of keeping a wary eye over there. And I'll make sure to give it some penalties on its next few actions.
Cool. Kaskrin skids to a stop next to everyone else. It's like, Selv, do the thing. Go, 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 go.
So as soon as Kask gets in the area, Selv holds up the card, pass, administrative ID, whatever it is, and just yells out,
"We're ready to check out now."
And then he turns to his companions and says,
10 seconds, keep them off the platform.
You guys can see that as soon as this very arcane magical phrase is spoken, the archway, the kind of area behind it, starts to glow a little bit. So instead of just kind of serenely looking out into the forest, there is very clearly some arcane energy starting to stir up. And as Selv said, there is a like a dais that is kind of that this leads up to, some like steps basically, that is again very tastefully done, of course, but is a very definitive, we'll say, boundary for, as Selv said, where you don't want not adventurers when things happen.
Val, finally out of the silence, just kind of takes a deep breath and will cast Spiritual Guardians in a 15-foot circle around her.
Seems good.
That has her own fleet of librarians really just menacingly holding overdue stamps.
Yep.
And little quiet signs. Yeah. That is an action, and she doesn't really have bonus action economy, so that will be it for her turn.
Seems good. So everyone is now in front of the archway. You all can now see and feel this kind of magical thrumming start as something is happening through the archway. As you look around, you see all of this beautiful forest. You can still in the distance see the estate, and you see each other, the worm, and again, you still see even a few other people that you might recognize from the party, a few other, you know, bits and baubles and pieces of art and decor. As the energy starts to build behind you, everything starts jittering and glitching and becoming unstable. And you can see the only things in your sight line that are not are the bookworm, Larry Steves, and their henchmen bearing straight down on you all. And that is where we'll end this week's episode, everybody. Oh, see you next time for the escape from the library.
The library.
Bye.
Actually, is Cass on the balcony or somewhere else?
I imagine Cass is on the second floor because I'm assuming that's where the entrance to the romantic balcony entrance is.
Oh, I mean, that's fair. I thought Cass would be like out.
Yeah, I thought it was ground level. Yeah, like in the
ground level.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. He's probably
in
like
my mind, it was like you could just, because they're trying to get people in and out of the romantic moment.
Yeah, the romantic. No, see, you guys had the deluxe romantic moment package, which is like the veranda package. Mm. They're just going into like the romantic garden.
Gotcha.
As like, you know, kind
or
of.
Or it's like, you tour like the castles and stuff. It's like, you can't. Precisely. This is the family section. You can't.
Right.
Be
exactly.
Here.